Welcome to the mikvah.org podcast. The mikvah organization has been dedicated to the education and resources for Jewish family life since 1975-5735. You can support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. Thank you for your support and enjoy today's recording.
Welcome to the Building a Family podcast series. In this series, we will be exploring the topic of building a family from many angles. For a comprehensive understanding, we ask that you listen to the series in its entirety. In this episode, we revisit a discussion featuring Mrs. Shifra Sharfstein. Shifra is the co-director of Chabad at Georgia Tech and Georgia State Universities and is an experienced educator. In addition, she is a mikvah.org certified Kala teacher and teaches Chabad high school girls, college students, and women of all ages and backgrounds. Today, she teaches us the first half of her two-part series on the Maamar Peru Uravu, where she explains why the Neshama wants us to invite it into this world. Please note, the source used in this episode, the Maamar, can be found in the show notes below.
Okay, amazing. If you have a Derech Mitzvah Secha, you can pull it out, and it's the very first Maamar. It's actually exciting that this is a Maamar that has some deeper explanations now. If you get this Sefer, Derech Mitzvah Secha, a Mavur, so that's an exciting thing to have also. But really, you can just have the Maamar in front of you, or you could listen, but it's really exciting when you get to see it inside. But the way Sarah is going to share it, I have kind of like outlined a few lines so that we don't learn the full thing inside, but I'm going to show you where we're up to and you can look inside for those parts. All right. So to start off on a little bit of a personal note, as a little introduction for this Maamar, and when I was asked to teach something over the summer, something personal came to mind, and that was this. So why specifically this Maamar, this mitzvah about Peruvu? So last summer, I was in a space where, knowing how amazing it is to bring more neshamas into this world and to have more children, I wanted very much to want to do that. But as we all know, nothing good in this world comes easy. And, you know, Farbrengen, speaking with some friends, I said, it's going to take like a serious Farbrengen to get me to really want to do this mitzvah. Again, Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful family and it's amazing and the Eibishter benches us. And at the same time, you know, we're human and we need to be inspired in order to want to do the things that are really important in life. So I am very blessed to have a brilliant sister and was staying with her last summer together. And we learned this Maamar together. And I really feel that this was impetus, the beginning of getting me re-inspired to do this mitzvah again. And learning the Maamar now, you know, so far in Baruch Hashem, in this journey of building a family, only thing I could think to myself is, I wish I had learned this earlier. Like, how come nobody taught this to me? How come I didn't know about this Maamar or learn it before I started doing this mitzvah of bringing children into the world and inviting all these neshamas down so I could just know how beautiful it is, have something to think about, have something to be inspired about. So I've decided now that it needs to be shared. Am I the best person to share this Maamar? Probably not. But why is it that nobody is, you know, this isn't the Maamar that we're learning in seminary, that we're teaching, that we're learning with our girls in high school? Probably because it's a pretty difficult Maamar to learn, and somebody's just got to do it. So that's what we're going to do together. And I will tell you that it really inspired me, really helped me. There are some super powerful, amazing, deep ideas here. It's a beautiful Maamar that takes you on this whirlwind of a journey. And at the same time, there's a lot of really deep stuff. There's a lot of really, really deep ideas going on here. And many times, I think as women, when we learn, we like to say to ourselves, okay, so what's the point of this? Like, why did I need to hear this? Like, what am I learning from this? Like, tachlis. And sometimes when you're learning a really deep mimer with really deep ideas in Kabbalah, you can't do that. So to put it out there as an intro, when we learn really deep ideas and when we throw in deep ideas from Kabbalah, it's helping us understand, you know, the purpose of the neshama coming into this world and comparing its journey. And at the same time, when we learn deep ideas in Chassidus, when we learn deep ideas that Chassidus brings from Kabbalah, the purpose really is to lift us up. The purpose really is to just lift us up to a higher place than we were before. That's really what we're trying to accomplish here. So even if at the moment it's not practical in your life, when you finish learning a mimer, my father always says, my father is Rabbi Tzvi Freeman, and the other person on camera is my sister Chaya. That's why we look alike. And my father always told us that if you learn Chassidus and you go outside and the tree looks like exactly the same tree as it did before you learned Chassidus, you have not learned Chassidus. Maybe you learned a piece of intellectual information, some great knowledge, some wisdom, but that is not Chassidus. Chassidus has to change you and the way that you view the world around you. So when you finish learning an idea of Chassidus, when you finish learning a mimer, you have to go outside and see that tree, and it has to be, wow, a totally new experience, a new tree that you never saw before. There has to be something amazing in it to you. So that really is the main accomplishment of learning anything in Chassidus. So here we go with that intro. Let's open up our mimer, and you can look in the chat box. So thank you, Sarah, for sharing that. You can open up the Google Drive, and you can have the mimer in front of you, and I'll show you where we are and what I've marked off, but we're starting from the very beginning. So we start on a journey here. This is the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek began writing the Maimarim in Derech Mitzvah Secha really at a very, very young age, as a young teenager. When exactly this Maimar was written in Tzemach Tzedek's life, I'm not 100% sure. But going through all of the big mitzvahs in Torah and explaining the deeper meaning behind them is really revolutionary. And that is really what the Tzemach Tzedek does with Derech Mitzvah Secha. It just explains the deeper meaning behind the mitzvahs. And the very first mitzvah in Torah is have kids, peruvu, multiply, fill up the world. So that's why we start with this one. So here we go. Mitzvahs peria verivya, peruvu sule. Inyan mitzvahs peria verivya, hine amarazal. Okay, and here we open up the Gemara. And to be legit, we're actually opening up the Gemara. Okay. And I'm going to read to you what the Gemara actually says inside. Shleisha shotvim ba'adam. That's Tana Rabbanim. Shleisha shotvim ba'adam. Yesh ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aviv ve'imai. So there are three partners in creating a human being. Hashem, Father, the Mother. Aviv, Mazriya ha'leivin. Shemimenu atamas v'gidim v'tzipranayim. Umayach shavareshai v'leivin shaba'ayim. The father contributes all of his parts, the white part, and all the different parts of the body that creates. So a lot of body parts. And now we move on to the mother. Imai, Mazras, Aydem, Shemimenu, Ara, Basar, Asaras, v'shachar shaba'ayim. The mother contributes her red parts. You don't have to take the colors literally. Not actually a literal thing, but the mother is contributing all her physical parts to the body. And the Hashem contributes the neshama, the soul, that's going to actually give a life to this whole thing. And that's what gives actually eyesight to the eyes and speech to the mouth and the power to the feet to actually walk, all those different parts that the Eibishter is contributing through giving a neshama. Now, just on a side note, something very interesting is that the father contributes 5 parts, the mother contributes 4 parts, and the Eibishter contributes 9 parts. And if you add that all together, that is, well, first of all, the Eibishter contributes equal to the father and mother together, and add it all together, 9 and 9 is 18. And that is where Chai comes from, life, that's giving us a number of life. So we have over here the human being created. And this is just the technical intro to the human being created, which is that humans are being created by the father, the mother, and Hashem. And really, when we're teaching our children about honoring and respecting their parents, this idea comes into the picture that Hashem is part of the union of the father and mother to help us create a child and bring a child into this world. And it's a joint partnership. It's a joint effort. And we all work together to create another, to bring another beautiful neshama into this world. And when the person passes away, Hashem takes Hashem's part back, which basically takes away all the life from the body parts that the father and mother created and leaves the parts that the father and mother created. And you kind of keep that here in this world. Okay. So now down to the fourth line. So if we open up a Navi Yeshaya, and no, I never learned Navi Yeshaya properly at all, but if you open up a Navi Yeshaya, and you look at the pasuk over here, there's a nevuah that's going on, there's a prophecy that's happening, and Yeshaya is talking about the power of Hashem, and how Hashem controls everything in this world and is waiting for people to come back and to recognize what truth really is in this world. That's the general idea that's going on here. The pasuk ends off in Neshamis Ani Asisi, souls, and souls I made. I created these souls, which basically, on a basic translation, is that Hashem created many different souls. But if you look at the pasuk, it's interesting because the beginning starts off singular, saying that I made one soul, and ends off in plural. And from that, the Arizal is the one who teaches us, and then we learn in Tanya, that there are multiple souls. There are two souls, two different types of souls. So that's the background for where we get to our concept that there's a nefesh elikis and a nefesh abamis, that there's an animal soul and a godly soul. How do we get to that? Through this nevuah, this prophecy. Okay, so we get this concept. Now, what are we trying to do right now? Okay, we're trying to give ourselves a background to how human beings are created. We took the Gemara. Now we're going to break it apart and say, oh, well, there's two parts to the human being. There's the animal soul and there's the nefesh elikis. There's those two parts. We're going to understand where those parts come from. Once we understand where those parts come from, we're going to be like, whoa, they come from really cool places. Once we do that, we're going to be able to ask some really deep questions and we'll gain an appreciation for the journey that our neshama takes to come into this world. But we can't appreciate that until we know where the neshama comes from. So here we go. By the way, if anyone has any questions at any time, just put them in the chat box and I am going to make sure to get to it. Okay, so continuing on in the neshama, in the mimer. So we have our animal neshama. And by the way, this animal neshama gives us life, but it also gives us an element of intellect to understand all kinds of intellectual ideas in this life, in this world. So interesting that those two come together. And the source for this animal neshama is a higher place, a ruchnius place, a spiritual source. What is that spiritual source? So here we're gonna talk about an idea in Kabbalah that's mentioned a lot in Chassidus, and we use the title for it in Ma'aseh Merkava, where we talk about this nevuah that Yechezkel had, where Yechezkel sees this great chariot. And together with this great chariot are four creatures. And each of these creatures has a different four faces to them. Okay, so you have the ox, and you have the eagle, and you have a human face. You have these four different creatures that Yechezkel sees in this image of this chariot. Again, we have limited info on this idea, and it's a very deep idea. It's a little bit sci-fi if you open up Yechezkel and actually try to, you know, read and understand this image that Yechezkel is coming and explaining to us, and how many wings each one has. It's not something that we're actually going to be able to understand, but there's something really cool that happens here. Where does our animal neshama come from? Hu b'chinas pnei shar shebemerkava u'pnei adam larbatan shemimenu nimshachim nafshais habamiyais shebiyisrael. So one of the creatures is primarily an ox creature that's in this vision that Yechezkel is having. And each of the creatures has four faces. And one of the sides to the face of the ox is a human face. From that human face, in this image, that is the source for the animal neshama that we have inside of us. So again, it's the human face that's part of the ox. What that gives us is that gives us a nefesh, a soul, that is animalistic because it stems from an ox, which is like, you know, like when you see a little kid running around, all this energy and anger inside of them. Okay, so that's coming from this ox above. And at the same time, it comes from the human face that's on this ox, which gives us the ability to have deep intellect and wisdom and understanding of great concepts and ideas in this world. So that is the spiritual source for our animal neshama. Okay, so that's where we get that from. The nefesh hasheni should be Yisrael. So we're familiar with this because we learned Tanya. The second soul that we have, hi chelak, Hashem mimal, kedechsiv chelak havaya amai, ki hi nitzas alakus, mamish v'nimshachas, mevchinas, kemara adam she'al hakisei, hu mar dmus kvayet Hashem. So where does our nefesh alakis, our godly soul, come from? That comes from the image of an adam, a complete human, that's sitting on a throne on top of this whole image of a chariot. So from a much higher source, why do I need to know that there's a chariot and a spaces and then there's a throne and then there's a human on the throne? Because it gives us a sense that there's a hierarchy, there's a higher level that's going on here. And the nefesh elokis, the godly soul, comes from a much higher place than the animal soul is coming from. So there's this image of an Adam that's sitting on a throne, and that is where the Nefesh Elikis comes from, which is really the world of Atzilus, a much, much higher place. We were made in the image of Hashem. What does it mean we're made in the image of God? We're made in the image of Hashem. And this concept, I'm a shlucha on a college campus, and whenever I teach our students' basic ideas, always tell them that we have to be so grateful to Torah, to the Jewish people, for teaching this concept to the world that all humans are equal. And why are we all equal? Because all of us are created in the same image of God. And that gives us this respect for every single human as an individual. So we're all created in this image of Hashem. What does that mean? It means that this image of an Adam, this image of a human that's there on this throne, has 10 spheros to it, has the different 10 spheres. Chabad, Chagas, Nehim, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, right? So all of those different parts, if you look at just the Midas part, which we call Zeir Anpin, that is like a complete face. And it includes within it all of the 10 spheres. This image of an Adam above also includes within this human 248 limbs and 365 sinews in a very, very spiritual way. What that filters down is that it creates a very physical human being, us, because we come from that original Adam above. And we are created in such a way that we also have these 10 spheres to us. We also have Chachma, Bina, Das, and then we have our emotions. We have Za also with inside of us. And it also creates that our Neshama has 613 parts, the 248 and 365. And our bodies also have 248 body parts and the 365 sinews that create our whole body, because we are a reflection of that original Adam that was created above. And so the spiritual above is reflected in the physical below. One of the most important perspectives that Chassidus gives us is Das Elyon, is the ability to see that our world is not the way it is just because, and then because stuff happens here, so then things are like that above. It's completely the opposite. And so this gives us the ability to see that every single thing that's created and happening in this world is because of something spiritual above. So if I have 248 parts to my body, it's because above there is a body that has 248 spiritual parts that I am a reflection of, and I am merely a reflection of that. But my source comes from those higher places above. So that helps me understand and appreciate everything that I have here in my body. Now, on the copy of your mimer, you see it's kind of like bracketed off. It says Vihine Lahavin. So we're like right in the middle of the page, a little bit further down. After the two dots, it says Vihine Lahavin. Vihine Lahavin calls in. Now we're getting to like the big questions. What are we trying to accomplish? Lahavin calls out. In order to understand all of this, like where we come from and how we're made and how we're created, the Inyan Pu'ulas Ha'adam B'Shas HaZivug. What is it that we as humans accomplish at the moment of intimacy, at the moment when a husband and wife come together, bring their neshamas, their minds, their hearts, their bodies together to become one? What is it that we're actually accomplishing? B'mshachas nefesh zay, inviting, drawing down, bringing into this world a new nefesh, a new soul, because that's a power that we have. What is it that we're accomplishing when we invite a new nefesh to come here into this world? And by the way, if we can understand that, then every union between a husband and a wife becomes so meaningful and so powerful, because wow, we're inviting a nefesh to come all the way down from this amazing Adam that's above, this gathering of all these neshamas that are above, to come all the way down into this world. Let's talk about that journey. Tzarech lahakdim tchila, but first, we're going to have to address the elephant in the room. And that is, inyan yiridas haneshama l'olam hazeh. Lamahu! This whole idea of bringing neshama into this world, why? Why do you even want to do that? Why should we invite a neshama to come down into this world? So now let's elaborate on that question. And what the Tzemach Tzedek does so beautifully is, and I think anytime you're learning Chassidus, you're going to know it's Chassidus, because the question is just built up and built up and built up so much until you're finally like, okay, I can't handle it anymore. And the question becomes so real and so prominent that we need a solution over here. Shari Naida, Shanashama Term Yuridasa Lagov, Haisai Medes Lamaila, Venanis Mizivashtina, Kidirsiv, Belyao Chai Hashem, Asher Amadzi Lafana, Lafi Makaima, Madrigasa, Batsilos, Ibria, Ibrizira, Ibasia. So we know that before an Hashem comes down all the way into a body here in this world, it was standing there and just enjoying being in front of the Shechina, enjoying being close to Hashem in its place. And every neshama comes from a different place. You know, we mention all four worlds here because different neshamas stem from and originate in, begin their journey down into this world from a different one of the worlds. A neshama that comes straight to this world from Atzilus. Wow. Now, those are very rare neshamas. Most neshamas have to travel Atzilus, then to Bria, then to Tzitzia. It's a lot of stops on your journey. And you kind of forget where you originally came from. Why does this poor, beautiful little neshama have to come all the way down here into this world to get stuffed inside of a body? And what does the body do? It runs after cheesecake. It runs after parties. It runs after ice cream. It runs after all of this, you know, scrolling through Instagram, like just all this stuff that the neshama's like, please, I have zero interest in any of this. Why are you making me do this? And yet the neshama is getting stuffed into a body that's running after all of this stuff in this world. And that covers up on Elikos. And it blurs the vision of the neshama. It's like you're driving in a car and it's pouring rain and the windshield wipers are just not working properly. And the neshama's trying to see out of this body. And it's like, I can't see Elikos. I came all this way to this world to be able to see Elikos, and I just can't see anything anymore. This is so frustrating. And the neshama just feels stuck inside of this body that's running after all of this ridiculousness and has no interest in it. Begam ki ba'emes, kolai hu kol tanuge v'chemdei olam hazeh. Masha yachol yais gam iluchai elef shonim b'shava v'hoshkei pavetach v'yamelech hamulachim adashar layachzar laykol masha v'olam mea tanugim einem kedai ba'emes v'yais na'arachim im kamas tanug eleki sha'achas. And you want the truth? You want to know the truth about all of this stuff that we run after in this world? The truth is that all of this stuff here in this world is like nothingness, is really, really like nothing. If you want to make a comparison to the real tainuk, to the real enjoyment and pleasure that an neshama can have in the higher worlds. So much so that even if a person lived in this world a peaceful, content, quiet life, and they were the king of kings, not lacking anything in this world, having every single pleasure that this world has to offer, it wouldn't even be worth it compared to the great pleasure, the great godly pleasure that a neshama can have from even one moment of pleasure in the higher worlds. That a neshama can have in the higher worlds compared to all the pleasures in this world. It's not even worth an entire lifetime of pleasure compared to one moment in the world to come. And by the way, Gamba Madregas Hayeser Bruchusais, Shaba Elamas Haruchlim, Dahanu Kamarazal, Yafasha Achashal Kairas Ruach, Bailam Haba, Mikol Chaya Elam Hazah, Shabbos Seinu Leimer. Afilu sha'achas b'gan Eden atachtayim. V'kal v'chaymer b'gan Eden alayim. So we're talking about Gan Eden atachtayim, the lower Gan Eden, the lower Garden of Eden, whatever, the place where our neshamas go to after we pass on, place where great taina, great pleasure is received. Even if you're talking about the lower level of this Gan Eden, we say in Pirkei Avos, so it's something that we might be familiar with when we learn Pirkei Avos in the summer every week, that how beautiful is one moment of just Kairas Ruach, just enjoying, you know, deep breath in Eilam Haba, in the world to come, from all of the life in this world. How much more beautiful is one moment in the world to come compared to all the pleasure here in this world? Now, we're talking about the lower Gan Eden, the lower level of pleasure that can be accomplished in the world to come. P.S. There's also a Gan Eden HaElyon. There's also a higher level. Now I'm going to explain to you what the Tzemach Tzadik goes on to talk about now, which is that from Gan Eden HaTachtayim to Gan Eden HaElyon, if a neshama is able to reach, you know, like level two, you're like you're playing a game and you finally like pass one level, so you move on to the next level. But we're talking about neshamas in the next world, so it achieved whatever it could in one Gan Eden. Now it's able to move to the next level, to Gan Eden HaElyon. You need a palate cleanser, and a palate cleanser is not necessarily very pleasant. In fact, the palate cleanser to go from the lower Gan Eden to the higher Gan Eden is very unpleasant. I don't like ginger. So everybody says that between trying one piece of sushi and another piece of sushi, you're supposed to like use that palate cleanser of like a piece of ginger, and they're always added into every sushi box. I think it's gross. But apparently if you're really a gourmand and you want to properly taste your sushi, you have to eat that ginger first to clear out the taste of that first piece, of that one flavor. Now you're going to be able to move on to another flavor. So you have to endure that unpleasantness in order to be able to truly appreciate the pleasantness of the next taste. And amazing taste testers know exactly what this is all about, because they're always cleansing their palate to be able to move on to the next great tasting thing. So for a neshama to be able to move from Gan Eden HaTachtayim to Gan Eden HaElyon, there needs to be a palate cleanser. And that is known as Nar Dinur, which is basically a river of fire. So it's like when you're koshering pots that became unkosher, and you have to use like an intense amount of heat, of fire, in order to get rid of all the flavor from before, so you move to the next flavor. That's what's happening to the neshama. We're removing all the flavor and all the taste of the pleasure that happened in the lower world to be able to move to the higher world. That's how much greater the tainug, the pleasure, the enjoyment of being feeling close to Hashem is in the higher Gan Eden than it is in the lower Gan Eden. And about the lower Gan Eden, we said that even one moment there of just, is worth more than an entire lifetime of pleasure in this world. Okay, so basically what we're doing for ourselves is we're building up this question of, so why would a neshama want to come to this world? What's the point of bringing a neshama here to this world? Okay, now to build up the question even more, now turning on to the next page, page two, but I'm just going to explain the general ideas that are there. We say a few things. We say that there are many more levels than just Gan Eden HaTachtayim and Gan Eden HaElyon. There are many, many, many levels that a neshama can go through. When we say that Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha, that when a Talmid Chacham, when a great tzaddik passes away, they never rest. You know, like rest in peace. We don't write that on our graves, because a neshama doesn't rest. Not a Jewish thing to rest, right? Jewish people never rest. Even after we pass away, we're still moving and accomplishing and level after level after level. So the neshamas of great tzaddikim are constantly climbing from level to level to level, higher and higher and higher, in multitudes of levels in the next world. And just to give you a perspective on how great the pleasure is in the world to come, Acher is a great character in the world of Gemara. And Acher, when he passed away, had a major issue, because on the one hand, he learned a lot of Torah. He was the teacher of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir followed after him. On the other hand, he dropped the whole thing and he just didn't believe. So his neshama comes up and nobody knows what to do with him. Like, we can't put him into Gan Eden. He can't go there. Look at the terrible things he's done. On the other hand, we can't send him to Gehenna, and we can't send him, you know, to be cleansed in the fires of Gehenna, because look how much Torah he learned. So it's not known what to do. So he just remains in limbo. Rabbi Meir davens for him that he should be able to go to Gehenna. He should be able to burn in Gehenna and get his cleansing process done. Why? So that after that whole cleansing process, he'll be able to get the pleasure and the reward of Gan Eden. And smoke rises from his kever for years, indicating that he burnt in Gehenna for a long time, until he was finally able to be admitted into Gan Eden. But it was worth it, according to his great student, Rabbi Meir, said he should finally be able to get that pleasure of Gan Eden. So inkling of an idea of the great pleasure that's accomplished in Gan Eden. So if we put into our minds, and we can all sit for a minute and think about all the pleasures that we really enjoy in this world. You know, like when I'm on shluchos, whenever someone's traveling to a city that has a bakery, it's always like, you must bring me back a cherry cheese Danish. Like, that is my number one taiva go-to, and I absolutely have to have it. We all have like a whole bunch of our taivas. When the kids go to sleep at night, like, what's the thing that you're pulling out, that you're sitting with, that you're doing? Pile up all of the enjoyment, all of the pleasure that we could have in this world. And if your pleasure is like a more spiritual pleasure, sitting and learning Torah, the enjoyment of Torah that we have here in this world, all of that is like, compared to a moment of pleasure in the world to come. So now we seriously have a question. And I underlined in the middle of page 2. Asher kasher yasim kol maskil al dvar libay bezeh. Yishtoimim ha-pela o-pela ma-zeh o-aysa yiridas ha-neshama mimokat gvaya kolkach v'aylam ha-zeh ha-daps v'achumri. Anybody who thinks about this, okay, so why did the Tzemach Tzedek spend so much time on this, to just give us a little bit of a sense of how awesome Gan Eden is, how awesome pleasure is in Gan Eden? If we think about this, we come to like this wonder of wonders. Why in heaven's name should a neshama who's enjoying this great pleasure to come down all the way to this very physical world? Why should a neshama have to come all the way down here? That's the big, big, big question. And now we get to a really beautiful part. Right after the underlined. Amnam be'emes, baruch elekeinu baruch hu. Hatayv u'meitiv v'vertzaynei apashot chafetz lehetiv la'ama ha'yisraeli. Blessed is Hashem who wants only good. And with Hashem's simple will, all Hashem wants to do for us is good, good, good. That's all that Hashem wants for us. V'yirida zay tzarech aliyah. This great descent, and now we know what a great descent we're talking about, because like that's a serious descent. Like we're really missing out on some good stuff by coming down here. The whole purpose of it is tzarech aliyah. It's for being able to climb higher afterwards. He laha loisam oid maila maila ein kates v'tachlis mimatzavam u'ma'amadam harishayin. It's to be able to lift up our neshamais higher and higher and higher to a higher place than they were ever able to be or from the place where they were originally. Asher aliyah zay udafka day yiridasam b'alam haza tzchila. This great uplifting that happens, this great aliyah that happens, is only possible after Hashem falls all the way down here into this world. A great analogy. I mean, we always tell our kids, like, if you want to jump, okay, you want to jump up really high, first you have to bend down your knees. First you bend down, and then you can jump up really, really high. A sprinter who's running in a race always puts a foot back and goes backwards first a little bit and then pushes forward, sprints forward. If you don't first take that step back, you can't really go so much more forward. So we always have this concept. I once had a student who was going through something really, really difficult in life, and we were sitting and we were talking, and I told her this line. He said, "Yiridazu l'tzarech aliyah," that every great descent is only in order to be able to climb so much higher. And this was in the days of Facebook, when that was a thing. And, you know, she posted these wise words of wisdom from Torah that she learned from Shifra, and she was so excited about it. And that became her mantra in life. Whenever she was struggling and she felt like she fell, she said, "Every time we fall, it's only in order to be able to climb so much higher." Now, on a personal note, I always like to have something in my mind that I'm thinking about, meditating on, you know, usually something with a tune that I can be thinking about during labor when I'm, you know, inviting a neshama to come into this world. And I don't think this was like pre-planned, but during one birth, this niggun came into my mind, Yiridazu l'tzarech aliyah. And I just came up with this image of a neshama being invited to come into this world. And in my mind, during labor, I'm talking to the neshama and I'm saying, "Come, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to come into this world." And you read the Zula Tzarech Aliyah, yeah, I know it's going to be hard. And I know that you're coming from a really, really, really high place. And just to learn chassidus and to know that we're really inviting a neshama into this world from a very, very high source. And to be cognizant of like, wow, this neshama is really going through a serious journey. No wonder why sometimes labor takes a long time, because that neshama has to travel like a serious long journey to come down finally into this world. And why pregnancy takes 9 months, you know, there's a transition period that has to happen. And to think about that and to tell the neshama in my mind during labor, "I'm inviting you to come into this world. And I know that it's a serious yirida, but don't worry. Yirida zu l'tzarech aliyah." And I just sing that niggun in my head that this whole descent is only in order to take you so, so, so much higher. So Come, little neshama, come with me on this journey. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to help you out. We're going to give you chassidus. We're going to give you mitzvahs. You're going to learn Torah. It's going to be beautiful for you here in this world. Come down and join us. So on a personal note, that line means a lot because in recent births, that was like my mantra, like the thing that I was thinking about through each contraction, climbing up to get that neshama and then climbing back down to schlep, drag, bring that neshama here into this world so that it could be able to accomplish so much. And the Aimrei, continuing inside, Mikol Chayei Olam Haba, כיוון לכל מדרגס המיילס והנכבדס, הנמצאים בעולם הרוחניים, מקום תפנוקי הנשמת ושננין שם מזיו השכינה, גבוהה מעל גבוהה וגבוהה מעליהם כידוע, לבאי שערי האריזל. From all of these great levels, from all of these high places that neshamas are found up in higher worlds, to draw down a neshama to come all the way into this world, kulam einam kedai neged shah achas v'tayra u'masim tayvim ba'ilam haza. And I should have underlined that line. I'm actually going to write now in my own. But to me, that's like, no, this is it. This is where it is at. All of those great levels, all of that great tainug, all of that great pleasure in the higher worlds is nothing compared to one moment of taira and masim taivim, good deeds that we're doing here, the positive actions that we can do, reaching out to one person and bending down and helping them out, seeing somebody who just needs a smile and smiling at them, doing lighting Shabbos candles with a little three-year-old girl, feeding kosher to people who rarely ever eat kosher, just those little mitzvahs that we do here in this world, incomparable in their greatness and their value to all of the pleasure that happens in the next world. So yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult, but nothing good comes easy. You want good? You want the real juice? You want the real stuff? We're gonna work hard. We're gonna come into this world. We're gonna struggle. We're gonna deal with the dirt, but we're gonna do mitzvahs. We're gonna learn Torah, and we're gonna make this world shine. And it's gonna be so, so beautiful. הנמשך על ידי איזה מצווה בעולם הזה היא האוילה על כולנו והדפס לאין קץ בשיר ותכלס על כל תענוג החיי העולם הבא. Now, the gilui, the revelation of alikos, the amount that we can reveal of Hashem when we do mitzvahs in this world is far, far greater, far more preferable. In case, like, you can't even make a comparison over here. It's like somebody trying to compare two kiddie rides in an amusement park to like the big roller coaster. Sorry, all my kids are in camp, so that's like what we're talking about right now, right? So you're trying to make a comparison between the pleasures of the world to come and the real stuff, doing a mitzvah here in this world, and the great light of Hashem that you can create, that you can reveal by doing a mitzvah, incomparable, totally incomparable, far, far, far greater. When you do a mitzvah here in this world, you're revealing a light of Hashem impossible to reveal just by being in the higher worlds. So just to end off in this paragraph, all the pleasure that a neshama gets in the higher worlds has a ketz, has a limit to how much pleasure that neshama can receive, to how much it can get. But when we talk about the light of Hashem that's revealed from a person doing a mitzvah here in this world, that's unlimited. So right now, what we're going to try to do is to explain what exactly happens when we do a mitzvah here in this world. So the big idea is that all of the great pleasures that a neshama is receiving in the higher worlds, those are limited. Yeah, sure, they're amazing. They're so incredible, incomparable to the pleasure that happens here in this world. But the revelation of Hashem that happens, being able to connect to Hashem when a person does a mitzvah here in this world in comparison to just the revelation of Hashem that happens in the higher worlds, here we can accomplish the infinite. Here, we can accomplish stuff that has no limits to it. There, it's limited how close you can get to Hashem. So just to talk about this comparison between pleasure, tainug, and giloy. Pleasure and coming close to and having a close relationship. We are very physical human beings. And so a lot of our life is focused on when's my next pleasure? You know, like little kids who are always asking, what's for dinner? Then what's for breakfast? Then what's for lunch, right? Where are we going? What trip are we going on next? What are we doing on camp? We as human beings, we become very focused on just fueling our pleasure. And in today's world, with all the science that goes into helping us stay addicted to our devices and helping us have that perfect potato chip with exactly the right amount of salt and the exact right amount of crunch. You have no idea how much science goes into making the perfect potato chip. Our world is so focused on when's the next pleasure coming? And so not focused on connection. Connection. We always say, today's world, everybody has thousands of friends or followers, but no real connection. Where's the real connection? We're not good at that in today's world. In our community, you know, in the frum world, especially on Shabbos, where we have no choice but to shut down, we're able to like really, really build that connection, but we don't talk about it so much. What we're focusing on here is real connection. Is becoming close to Hashem. And I always think about that story of the Alter Rebbe rolling on the ground in a deep trance, in a deep meditation, saying, I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I don't want any of the great pleasures of the world to come. All I want is you. Just want that close connection to you. That's what Chassidus is all about. It's not about, I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to have a lot of reward and I'm going to receive a lot of pleasure when I get to the next world. It's not what it's about. It's about building a relationship with the big boss. It's about building a connection. Like in marriage, you can go into marriage saying, well, what am I going to get out of this relationship? How much money is there in the account? How many vacations are we going to go on? How many fancy restaurants are we going to go out to? What kind of a nice house are we going to have together? How many kids are we going to have? Or I can go into the relationship saying, what can I give to you? How can I feel close to you? And that's exactly the perspective over here, is that it's so much greater to do a mitzvah here in this world, to simply connect to Hashem and feel close to Hashem, than to be in the higher worlds and get all the pleasure from the Eibishter. Where it's really at is building the relationship, is feeling close to Hashem through doing a mitzvah. And that can only happen here in this world. When we go to a Beis HaKfares and go to a cemetery, we tell our little boys to hide their tzitzis. Why? Because all of the neshamas that are there that have passed away can no longer do that mitzvah of tzitzis. And it's kind of like showing off, wagging our tzitzis in the air and saying, ha ha, look, I can do a mitzvah. You can't do it anymore. And it's painful for the neshamas. Sure, they're getting great reward and they're feeling all this great gilui and all this great tainug, but they can't do a mitzvah. And that's where it's really at. So one moment of doing a mitzvah here in this world is far, far, far greater than all the pleasures of the world to come. So the beginning of our answer, our first question, why does a neshama have to come down into this world? And we first talked about all the great time of all the great pleasure that a neshama can have from the higher worlds and how wonderful it is and how great it is and how it was worth it for Acher to burn for years in order to finally be able to get the tainug of Gan Eden. Nevertheless, one moment of doing a mitzvah here in this world is far, far, far greater than all of the revelation of Hashem that happens in the higher worlds, because this is really, really where it's at. And so in the next part of the Maamar, what the Tzemach Tzedek is going to do is going to explain to us what happens when we do a mitzvah. What exactly is this infinite light that is created from the power of us doing a mitzvah? And from that idea, we move on to, well, that's why a neshama really has to come down into this world to be able to reveal that great amount of light of the Eibishter. And then we can say, and that's why we need to bring children into this world. We need to bring more neshamas into this world. And we answer the question of how we bring Mashiach closer through bringing more neshamas into this world. We answer some very interesting questions about intimacy itself. And then we continue on to the big idea, which the Tzemach Tzedek really wanted to address at first, which is, okay, so at that moment, when a husband and a wife are together and they're inviting a neshama to come into this world, let's talk about that power. Let's talk about the energy that's there. And that, we're Mitzvah going to learn in part 2.
Remember, to truly grasp the essence of this topic, we encourage you to follow the entire series. Stay tuned for the next episode where Mrs. Sharfstein continues to teach us the Maamar of Peru Urvu and goes more in depth on the secrets of the body-soul union and its power to draw down neshamais.
We hope you enjoyed today's recording. Please take a moment to leave a rating or a review to help others find the podcast. We welcome you to support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. For feedback, please email podcast@mikvah.org. Have a wonderful day.